Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Joan Tim, in loving memory of Richard and Jeffrey Tim. Today's lesson comes from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, as you all know, is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of what you know, in my opinion, is the greatest week of the whole year. This week, Holy Week, as we call it, is the week on which we celebrate in the most pointed and dramatic fashion that we can muster, is when we celebrate the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is, of course, the center of his mission and ministry when he came and lived among us. And we celebrate all aspects of that passion. We begin today, of course, by thinking about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Over the course of the week, we think about his multiple and many confrontations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers and the religious establishment that existed in Jerusalem. We think, of course, on Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday, about the fact that he met in the upper room with his disciples, with his church, and there he washed their feet. There he mandated to them that they are to love one another even as he loves them. It's on that same night in which he was betrayed that the Lord Jesus Christ institutes for us a new testament, a new covenant by his blood, wherein he gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to strengthen us in our faith and to bind us together in his holy body as his holy Christian church. It's on that night wherein we receive the sacrament of the altar. We remember also that on that night, after singing a hymn and reading some psalms, he took his disciples across the valley and up the hill into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he met with them and urged them to stay awake and to pray with him for even 1 hour. And yet his disciples were unable. It's there where the Lord Jesus Christ shows us that in his humanity he desires to avoid the pain and the suffering and the death that comes, but by the power of his divinity that he submits to the will of his Father and goes willingly like a lamb to the slaughter. We remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is betrayed by one of his former followers, by Judas Iscariot, with a kiss. It's on that night,
when we see his disciples abandon him, where he's surrounded by guards and men with clubs, and he's taken away as if he's a criminal to face a trial that is completely unjust. We see him come face to face with the people he had been confronting all week long, who couldn't stand up to his arguments, who couldn't answer him in the face of the public, and so they take him away in the middle of the night, and they hire worthless men to lie about him, to charge him with crimes he was not guilty of, that he never committed. And we see them convict him anyways, knowing the lies that they've lobbied against him. It's where we see them use their political power to submit him to the Romans, to twist their own law that he could be crucified and put to death. It's in this week wherein we see that even Pilate, as the Roman governor, knowing of Christ's innocence, plays petty party politics with his life. And even though Pilate knows that the Lord Jesus Christ does not deserve death, he sends him away anyways to be crucified brutally because it's politically expedient. On this week, we see our Lord Jesus carry even his own cross up the hill of Calvary. It's where we see him beaten and spit upon. It's where we see him lashed. It's where we look on the face of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as she watches her own son suffer torment. It's where we see the Lord Jesus suffer on the cross, and where we see that even in his final moments, in his great compassion, he cares for his mother, and he cares for his church, and he entrusts her to the Apostle John at the foot of the cross. It's on this most holy of weeks where we see the Lord suffer and die, forgiving even his accusers and the people who lied about him, where we see him breathe his last after forgiving the sinner that was crucified at his side. It's where we see the sky turn dark and the earth shake and quake because God has died. It's where we see his church, his disciples, mournfully lay him in the tomb in despair that their leader, that their Messiah, that their hope has died. It's where we see the disciples filled with fear and go into hiding lest they would suffer their Lord's fate next. And yet, of course, only 1 week from today, we will celebrate the mystery that the women who approach the tomb find it empty and learn eventually that Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, today we focus on the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And for me, every year, and I don't know if this is going to get better as I get older, but every year, Palm Sunday is a joyous day, and yet it's confounding to me. There are so many things that occur over the course of this Holy Week, and of course, we can't shut them out from the whole week. We know what's going to happen, and yet we celebrate anyways. But the strong contrast between Palm Sunday and the joy and the celebration that we share together, and that the people in Jerusalem shared on that day, contrasted with the mournfulness of the evening of Holy Thursday and of Good Friday, is something to behold. I can't help but remember that the crowds of people are gathered there, and they receive the Lord Jesus in very different ways, as we see in our gospel lesson for today. As we hear in the first verse of our reading, the next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. the large crowd that had come to the feast, that were coming to Jerusalem for the Passover to celebrate, heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And so they go out, they took palm branches from trees and went out to meet him, and they cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And yet we remember that on Maundy Thursday, in the face of Pilate, some of this crowd, not all of this crowd, but some of this crowd will chant something very different. They will say, "Crucify him." And what a contrast that some of the people on Palm Sunday can go out and lay palm branches and chant in joy. And then less than a week later, they could cheer that the same man would be crucified brutally. Brothers and sisters, this contrast is perplexing to me. It's confusing, like I say, but it is explainable. And I want to encourage you this morning to understand that the difference between the crowds who go out on Palm Sunday and praise the Lord Jesus, recognizing him even as the King of Israel, and then mourn at his crucifixion on Friday, and the crowds that go out and chant on Palm Sunday and then chant, "Crucify him," on Maundy Thursday, is the difference between the church and the world. Brothers and sisters, what we learn here in this lesson on Palm Sunday is that there are people who receive the Lord Jesus by faith. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And we don't see it explicitly, but we can understand here that there's a large crowd of people that have come to Jerusalem. Now, some have come because the word of the Lord has instructed them to celebrate the Passover. And so in reverence, out of respect and submission to the word of God, they have come to do as they are commanded. And yet there are others that see the Passover merely as a cultural event, just something that they can partake in that is fun, that's exciting, that's a party. It's a place where the crowds go. Those who submit to the word of the Lord by faith, of course, are the Holy Christian Church. And those who simply do what the crowds are doing, who are blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as you might say, is simply the world looking for a good time. And so we see that on Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday, crowds go out and intermixed with this great crowd that's chanting, there are the faithful who see Jesus truly as the King of Israel. And here I don't mean the king of some country in the Middle East, but the king, the ruler, the Lord of the Holy Christian Church. They see the Lord Jesus as God incarnate, the Word made flesh, who is their only means of salvation. And they go out to greet him because they want to see the king walk into his holy temple and sit down upon his throne and reign and rule them for eternity. And then there are others that just go along with the mood. It's party time as far as they're concerned, and so they do what everyone else is doing. Brothers and sisters, this is the same today. Some people, of course, will celebrate Holy Week, even, and Easter especially, simply because it's a fun time to buy some chocolates and celebrate spring and enjoy a good time. But for us, for the faithful, for the Holy Christian Church, we celebrate this Holy Week because we recognize that in it, our Lord Jesus, the very King of Israel, the ruler of the church, God incarnate, has come to us. And it's by his work, it's through everything that he does over the course of this week that he has become our salvation. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake, this week is the greatest week of the entire year. Celebrate it with joy and with reverence and with respect, knowing that from the hand of God comes your eternal life. Brothers and sisters, celebrate this week like no other. Because make no mistake, this week the King of Israel comes, and this is the greatest week in all of human history. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.